You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, May 27th, 2024. The Scramble Dan streaming at RadioAlbion.com. It is Monday, and here in America, it's Memorial Day. And we're going to talk about that today. But before we get into that, as always, I remind you, we have our Sven Longshanks support links here in the description page for the Daily Nationalist. I appreciate all of you who have reached out to Sven and sent him support, notes of support, postcards, letters, emails, all of the whole bunch. I do appreciate you doing that on his behalf. Thank you once again. I encourage you to continue to do that. We're hopefully on the home stretch of perhaps seeing him released in a timely manner. I got my fingers crossed. We're all hoping to see that. But until that day comes, we're going to continue. I'm going to continue to remind you of all of that. And again, I do thank you, all of you who have taken the time to give Sven your support. As I said, it is a Memorial Day here in the U.S. It's the day when we remember our fall. I'm very tempted, as you all know, to do my quintessential American voice. We remember our fallen heroes who died to protect our freedoms in the American way. And I'm kind of trying to resist doing that too much because I want to approach this in a somewhat serious matter. Now, the whole, you know, we honor our fallen heroes who fought for our freedom. This is the official narrative, and it's the narrative that, by and large, is embraced by the bulk of the population. But this requires turning away from and denying the truth of these wars. Now, the problem is, when you do that, when you start speaking of the truth, people, you're going to get met with a certain level of hysteria. And you're talking about this as we sit here today and discuss this in a truthful manner, to look at the truth. If you're having this conversation with somebody, you're more than likely going to get met immediately with hysterical and emotional accusations of you're dishonoring the troops. You're dishonoring those who have died. They were better men than you. They went and fought for freedom. And you dare to smear their name. You always want to be cautious. When you speak the truth, oftentimes you're going to be met with some sort of, you know, hysterics, you know, appeals to emotionalism, accusations of disrespect. This always inevitably leads to being given a false choice. You have to either go along with the narrative that we would all be speaking Vietnamese today if those boys hadn't gone and fought in Nam, or you're spitting on the graves of those who fell in battle on behalf of America. And it's a false choice. This is important because this same tactic is used on current events. You speak to current events, and you'll be met with hysterics and appeals to emotionalism and inevitably an accusation. A good example of this was during the COVID nonsense, which I have fun. I was in a public place the other day, and I started coughing. I got choked on something went down the wrong pipe, you know, and I stopped and laughed, and I said, you know, remember during the COVID nonsense, whenever that would happen, like people on tables around you would stop what they're doing and look at you like you're trying to kill everybody. See, this tactic, this sudden appeal to hysterics and emotionalism, and which leads to a false choice, it's important because this is used on current events. Again, pointing out COVID, when you said, well, you know, when those of us that refuse to wear the mask, we said, we're not doing that. That's stupid. And this is obviously ridiculous. We were met with hysterics. Well, you just want to kill people. You don't even care that you feel fine. But what about Granny? You don't even care that you're going to slaughter 6 million old people with your coughing and breathing. How dare you? Just put the damn mask on. They tell you that, which of course led to that transitioned to, oh, we're all still having to wear the mask because you refuse to get vaccinated. Now, in hindsight, Pfizer and the other pharmaceutical companies involved in those vaccines, they made billions of dollars. They came out smelling like a rose. And those who took the vaccine, many of them are starting to slowly coming around to realizing that that wasn't a really good decision to make. But they made that decision, and now they have to face the consequences for that. The point being, when people meet you with hysterics, and then they say, oh, you know, you either agree with us or you want to kill everybody. You know, when, of course, that's a false choice. There's something here in the middle. You know, no, there's actually like some reasonable stuff here to say, yeah, no, the answer is somewhere in the middle. But when you're met with hysterics and over the top appeals to emotionalism, you're always going to get, they're always going to veer into, you must want to kill everybody because you're not going to wear a mask, which of course is utterly false. Likewise, when you speak about the truth of America's warlike history, they say you're disrespecting those who died. These people died. Their families are grieving. And you dare to spit on their memory, which, of course, is just, again, you know, appeals to emotionalism. You know, it's just an appeal to emotionalism to divert the discussion away from the truth, which, again, is going to be somewhere in the middle. It's possible to talk about this, and it's important. When you get down to the matter, the fact of the matter is the U.S. has a long and sordid record of lying itself into war and to lying the people into going along with the war, with the latest imperial war plans. And just like with the Pfizer vaccines, just like with the COVID vaccines, there are people that profit off of that. You know, most of you, virtually all of you, are familiar with Smedley Butler and this whole thing about war is a racket, where he pointed these things out. If you're not going to look at the truth, and it has nothing to do with dishonoring people who died in these wars, and in fact, I would argue that it is a way of honoring them, and we'll get into that as we go along. If you can't point out this truth, in other words, if you can't look at and point out the ways in which America, the government, has lied us into war and lied into war that other people are going to go fight, regular people have to go fight and die in, so that a handful of people can profit off of it. If you're not going to be able to point that out, then it is inevitable they will do it again. In fact, I would say it's pretty obvious they're in the process of working up to that now. I'm expecting some form of false flag attack virtually any day now, because they have this track record of doing that very thing. What a common mistake I think that a lot of people make is thinking that history is irrelevant to the present or to the future. But it's not. If you were going to go out, if you're a single man and you're going out and you're looking for a woman to make her your wife, you're going to want to be cognizant of her past, because that's reflective of her character. It's reflective of her decision making. If she has a body count of 2,000 guys, she's probably not wife material. You need to be cognizant of that. You need to understand that she's got a track record. She's got a history of making certain types of decisions. And she's probably going to continue on that trajectory. The same thing applies here. If your government has a history of lying you into conflicts that really have nothing to do with you, so that a small handful of people can profit from that, you need to be aware of that, because the odds are they're going to use the same playbook again. They're going to come up with another crisis, another affront. We've been attacked. We tried to be peaceful, but they insert enemy of the day, and it doesn't matter who it is, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Russia, China, whoever the hell, they just insert the name, and they create the crisis, and they try to whip everybody up into an emotional fever, so they blindly go into war, and some of those people will not come back. They will die. And then they get a folded flag. Their family gets a folded flag. We get a lot of lip service about honoring the troops on Memorial Day. Those very same people who will point the finger at you as you show the truth, as you point to the truth, they'll point the finger and be hysterical and raise these accusations. At the end of the day, their so-called honoring the troops amounts to a lot of lip service. Oh, they put up the flags and pictures of dead people and try to pretend that they have an emotional feeling about this. They're just, oh, it's so sad. It's so sad. I refuse. I'm one of those people. I refuse to go along with that because I believe it minimizes the grief of those who truly are, who truly did lose somebody they care about. You can apply this to anything. It makes me sick. One of the things that happens in this internet social media age is you will hear, you know, you read these constant stories about people dying. And you'll have these virtue signalers and they'll go on. Oh, my heart is broken. This is such a tragedy. I'm so emotionally affected by this. My heart is broken. No, it's not. Shut the hell up. You don't know those people. You can look at that and say, that's a tragedy and that's sad, but don't pretend like you're emotionally affected, because you know who is emotionally affected? Those people's family, the people who love those individuals that are dead and cared about them. They're the ones who are really grieving. You're not. You're some rando on Twitter or Facebook or whatever the hell else. Shut up and know your place. You don't know these people. Don't piss all over and dishonor those who truly are grieving with your virtue signaling. Oh, I care so. Oh, I'm in tears now. Shut up. You're not in tears, bitch. You're just putting up some crap on social media hoping to get some likes. It's insulting. And this is truly degrading the deceased's memory. Not pointing to the truth. Pointing to the truth is to try to avoid that happening again. Again, they will always try to divert you away into you being a negative. You point out the truth. America's history. I believe it's arguable that America has never truly fought a defensive war. I don't want to get into the woods with that. You might can find an example here or there, but you're going to have to look hard. Most wars are optional. Most wars are virtually all of these wars are some form of war for profit, war for expansion, which it always equates to somebody's making money. Somebody's making money off of it. But again, they want to bring in a bunch of hand waving. You know, oh, you're disrespecting those who went and died. You're saying, I've actually heard this before. You're saying that whenever anybody starts with "you're saying," usually what's about to come next is something that you didn't say at all. Virtually every single time somebody comes at you and starts with, "well, what you're saying is," then they're fixing to, don't get sucked into it, because it's a trick. It's to get you to defend a position that you never actually took. So what you're saying is, 99.99% of the time, what you're about to hear after that is something that you didn't say at all. And sadly, a lot of people fall for that rhetorical trick, and they'll wind up defending a position they never took in the first place. So what you're saying is those people were all stupid, they were all dupes, and they died for nothing. They died dishonorably, they died for nothing. You're saying those guys were dumb. No, I'm saying those guys were deceived. See, that's what they don't want you to talk about, because then they're wanting to turn it into you pointing out the truth is you're dishonoring the dead. Because what they don't want is, no, you speaking the truth is showing where the dishonor actually belongs. And that's to the liars who profited off of those men's death. They don't want you talking about that. So they try to turn it into, oh, you're dishonoring the dead. Look at you. You're calling those guys cowards. You're calling those guys idiots. You're calling those guys stupid, whatever the case may be. Because what they don't want you talking about is those who truly dishonor those, because they're responsible for those guys being dead. And make no mistake, they dress all of that up. There's a reason they glorify this. And if you're not in America, you probably don't understand. If you're in Europe, you're probably not going to understand how it is. They glorify it. You know, they wave these flags and they honor and talk about this honor, and they really hype it up. You'll drive along. I was driving somewhere the other day, and I was going down the road, and there was a sign on the side of the road, and it was, I don't know, some, you know, military rank so-and-so Memorial Road, you know, Memorial Highway. And I thought, you know, what did that cost? It cost nothing. They put up a sign. It doesn't change anything. At the end of the day, you're either alive or you're dead. If a man's given a choice, what would you rather have? What if your family was given a choice, what would you rather have? A piece of metal on a ribbon along with a folded flag? Or would you rather have your son back? Would you rather have your brother alive? Well, for the families that grieve, that's not a real tough answer. The person had a choice, and would you rather survive this? Would you rather be alive? Or would you rather have this road out here with a sign on the side of it with your name on it? It's not really a tough choice. I think anybody would make the decision. They would rather be alive. And this is the importance of speaking the truth to this. Every one of those men in the grave, if they had the potential to be alive today, would have rather be alive. No matter when they died, they would have rather lived their lives out if they were given a choice. If they were given a choice, they wouldn't want to just be, you know, have their lives cut short. And a piece of metal hanging off of a ribbon and a folded flag and a frame, and boy, boy, there you go. And again, how much did that cost? And liars who lie the people into war, who convince people to go do the fighting for them while they sit in a nice, comfy place, sipping their mixed drinks or lattes and count their bank account. You see, they divert. They want to make you the dishonorable one. They want to make you the one who is spitting on the dead by daring to speak the truth, because they want to divert the dishonor that they themselves hold, those who sit and profit off of the blood and death of others. They do it for money. Think about that. Let it sink in. They lie into war, and they know people are going to die, and they don't give a shit because they're going to make money off of it. Is there anything more dishonorable than that? Now, there are times when there are those who will make it a point to dishonor the dead. They'll say, these guys are nothing but murderers. I've seen cases where people are supposedly anti-war, and they'll go make statements like, I'm not going to honor these guys. They were a bunch of murderers, a bunch of killers. That's to misplace at least part of the guilt. I was thinking of this before recording the show. I was thinking a way to illustrate this. If you trusted, if you're a man, and there was somebody you trusted, an acquaintance, a friend, a family member, whatever, and there was someone you trusted, and this person called you up, and he says, hey, there's a guy at your house right now. He's attacking your wife. You're like, what? You're going to take it on his face because you trust him. This is a friend. You believe this guy. And he calls you up. He says, man, I got to let you know, man, there's a guy in your house right now attacking your wife and threatening your wife. And you're like, oh my gosh, and it's America. So you grab your gun and you hop in your pickup and you haul ass to the house and you jump out. You're whipped up. You're like, you're imagining what all could be going on. And you run into the house and you look in the kitchen and sure shit, there's your wife and there's some man standing there. And he looks at you surprised because you got a gun in your hand, and you running in there, and this guy turns around. Suddenly he's got something in his hand and you gun his ass down. And now they haul you to jail for murder. Because it turns out he wasn't attacking your wife. This guy was a contractor. And your wife had him come by the house to give a quote and to look at your cabinet. She wanted new cabinets in the kitchen. And furthermore, it turns out that your trusted friend is also a contractor, and he got word of this, and he's pissed off because he wanted that money. He wanted that business, and he was mad because your wife called this other contractor in. And so he intentionally lied to you because he was mad because he wasn't going to make the money off this cabinet contracting job. Now, well, yes, you yourself, you pulled the trigger, perhaps, but would you hold the liar who started this whole situation, would you hold him blameless? Would you say, oh, well, you know, he's completely guilt-free? I would say he is the most guilty of the party. Perhaps you rushing into the house, waving your gun around without really looking into it. Yeah, I mean, you have some guilt too, but who instigated the entire situation? If this person hadn't interceded with their lies, you would have been no the wiser, and you would have gone home, and your wife would have said, hey, I had a contractor come by today and take a look at his ideas for these cabinets, and nothing else would have come of it. But because of the actions of your so-called trusted friend, who was mad because he wanted that money, he caused a situation that ended up destroying lives. Who's the guilty party here? We look. And, you know, after 9/11, you know, I witnessed it. You witnessed it. I whipped people up into a frenzy. The terrorists have attacked us. We got to go to war there. You're either Bush standing up there like an idiot talking about you're either with the terrorists or you're with us. You know, again, the false hysterical emotional choice. Look, you either stand with America or you're standing with the terrorists. And of course, then he whipped out his Axis of Evil, another good marketing slogan, where he named off a bunch of countries that really didn't have anything to do with the alleged 9/11 happening, and everybody swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. They whip people up, this emotionalism. They lie. Everybody knows they stood at the UN and waved around the vial. This is our proof. This is our proof that Saddam is making weapons of mass destruction. Of course, we all know it was a lie. And they whipped everybody up. And you look at that and you shake your head and say, what the hell's wrong with people? Why do they believe these liars? But if you don't ever point out the truth, then they're going to fall for the lies. They're going to get whipped up into emotionalism. And again, Bush standing up there saying, oh, you're either with the terrorists or you're with us. See, again, that false choice, one extreme or the other. You're either with the terrorists or you're with America bombing people that had nothing to do with the alleged event. When, as usual, the truth is somewhere in the middle, but you've given this false dichotomy, this false choice. You got to pick one extreme or the other. You either dishonor the dead and you stand with the evil terrorists, or you stand with the eagle. You stand with the red, white, and blue, and you're going to bring a freedom's bell and ringing the bombs down on those Muslims. All lies. All lies. Who could ever forget Madeleine Albright interview, 60 Minutes, former Secretary of State. And in the interview, they asked her, you know, the sanctions you placed on Iraq for medicine caused the death of, I don't remember, it was like 1 million kids or something. Do you think that's worth it? And instead of denying it, she says, yes, it was totally worth it. Totally worth it. These are the types of people you're dealing with. Then blink an eye. It's totally worth it. Okay, the interviewer didn't follow up and say, well, what did we get that was worth 1 million lives? Somebody profited. It always comes back to somebody made money off of it. Or it furthers this plan. I saw a story this morning, and I think it's Borrell, the EU. You know, they says, he came out and he says, look, the European Union is facing a situation where we're either going to have to, we're running into a conflict with supporting our view of the international rule of law, the international criminal court, the international quote unquote justice system, which is just an illusion, but nonetheless, they've given it a lot of lip service. He says, we're coming into the situation where we're getting into a conflict between our support for the international justice system and our support for Israel. And it's amazing to me that you're never supposed to question why is support for Israel important. It's really when in just a practical manner, all other things aside, it's really an irrelevant country. It would be it's really no different. Imagine if you replaced Israel in this context with Madagascar. We're trying to work this balancing act between our support for the supposed values of international rule of law and justice and our support for Madagascar. But nobody says that because Madagascar is irrelevant. Why is Israel so relevant that it's so important? It's at the center of all things. But you can't question that. Again, you'll be met with hysterics, accusations. You're seeing us a lot with these political narratives in the West concerning Israel and what is going on with the Palestinians. You know, you're seeing this whole case of they're throwing out this false extreme thing. You know, oh, you must support terrorists, and if you don't like what Israel's doing, then you're an anti-Semite, and you support the terrorists, and you want to see all the Jews in Israel slaughtered. But nobody's really saying that. The truth, again, you always want to be really, really wary and really, really conscious when cognizant of the fact when people give you a false choice of extremes. You either got to be A-okay with Israel slaughtering tens of thousands of Palestinians, or you want to see all the Jews dead. It's one or the other. Truth can't be somewhere in the middle. Your only choice is one or the other. So which is it, buddy? Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. The truth is always going to lie somewhere else, and they're purposely trying to divert you from looking at the truth, because the truth is inconvenient to their plans. The truth is inconvenient to the profit, to the bottom line. And make no mistake, people are profiting from these conflicts. Yes, there's other things at play here, but there's already people, you've probably read the stories, there's already people drawing up plans that once the Palestinians are wiped up, we could turn Gaza into a resort. It's right on the beach. Already making plans to profit from it. The arms industry profiting from it. The Ukraine is just a really disgusting fiasco and just a really repulsive example of this. Billions of dollars, and they admit this. These politicians will come out and say, you know, when people are against sending all this billions to Ukraine, they'll say, hey, no, it's okay. Because most of that money is going to come back to America in the form of building these weapons. In other words, they admit the arms industry is profiting off of this. Never mind that hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians are being slaughtered. Who cares about that? It's totally worth it. Hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians are losing their lives, but you shouldn't worry about that. The arms industry, the military-industrial complex is making bank. It's good for America, buddy. If you have family members or friends, people you care about, who have gone off and fought in these wars and perhaps not returned, or perhaps they have returned and they haven't returned the same person. People who have gone to combat don't come back the same person that left. And people that leave and they were caring and bright and intelligent, and they make it back and they're broken. You know, they're broken. Their mind's not right, because you can't go through that and come back the same person you were. It changes you. Understand that and honor those people that made it back didn't make it back. Those who came back in a box with a flag. And remember when the government spends virtually nothing on a folded flag in a box and maybe gives them a piece of metal on a ribbon and waves the flag around and says they're a hero. Remember, all of that rhetoric cost them nothing. They lined their pockets. They lined their pockets off of the blood of those that died. You don't need to dishonor. You look and understand, again, if you have a family member, somebody you cared about, it's okay to grieve for them, to honor their memory. But don't pay any mind to those who celebrate it like it's a good thing and turn away from the truth that people profited off of their death. People made money off of the death of someone that others cared about, family members, somebody, people who were actual, were actually somebody's brother, son, father, whatever, family members, people that were cared about. Same people sit around and oh yeah, we're going to have a parade and talk about honoring them. They're all sitting there in their cushy little jobs, their cushy little offices, pocketing their money, pocketing the kickback. At the end of the day, it is they are the ones who dishonor the memory of the fallen. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you have a good Memorial Day. If you got the day off, I hope you enjoy time away, a break from being a wagey as much as you can. I hope you'll get a chance this week. I'll be back tomorrow to catch all our programming here on Radio Alabama. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. You never want to miss it. It's always a fun discussion. I think it's a fun show. You want to check it out if you haven't so far. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be back on Wednesday with the Orthodox Nationalist. I know all of you look forward to that. Dr. Johnson will be in Thursday with his geopolitical themed Daily Nationalist. And I'll be back for Funny Friday. We're going to wrap up the week. We're going to have some humor. We're going to laugh at how crazy the world is. Man, you got to laugh at it or you're going to go crazy. Don't go getting weird on me. I don't want none of y'all going out there and getting weird on me. We're going to laugh at it. We're going to just shake our heads and we're just going to keep on. So again, I hope you enjoy your week. As always, keep the faith and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.